It's another side that, like, wants to take more. It wants to go that one more round. Because, like, going that one more round when you don't think you can, that's what makes all the difference in your life. You know what I mean?
Welcome to another episode. Here, go ahead. No, sorry.
I'm so sorry. Just when you said "all right," I kept thinking of that guy at the beginning. He's like, "All right, all right."
You know, I should have put that audio in for every time we start. It's just like, "All right, all right." No, hey, it's staying in. Hey, this is one more round, the Rocky Series podcast. I'm your host, Ryan, and with me today is Katie and Kyle. Welcome back, Kyle. He's already here to screw up the show. Thank you.
Well, I figure I got to make up for last time. It probably went too smoothly. We have to ground our listeners and make them feel like this is a typical episode.
Well, I know there was something that we brought up, Katie, that we said, oh, we wish Kyle was here. It was something about weight class. Oh, yeah, we're talking about Stallone himself. What weight class do you think Stallone, as an individual, as a real person, what weight class do you think he'd be in?
I think he'd be either middleweight or light heavyweight, probably light heavyweight. So, like, light heavyweight is, like, around 175 pounds maximum, and then 200 plus is heavyweight. Last time I checked, at least. Stallone, because I think he's about, I've heard anywhere from 5'7 to 5'9, 5'10. I'm guessing he's probably, I'll say he's 5'8. That's pretty small frame. So, like, him in Rocky III, for example, would have been a light heavyweight or even, you know, the guy commented, he looks like a middleweight, you know. He apparently, in this fight, they say he's 195, which is kind of surprising because that disqualifies him for being a heavyweight. But I don't think he's that heavy in this film.
Okay.
I wondered if they changed it because there were a few fights that he weighs in at less than 200. So I thought that heavyweight was 190 and above or something, but that's not true. Or did it used to be different?
I don't know, to be honest. The last podcast, I had to look it up just to see what the classes were. But yeah, 202 pounds is what he weighed in Rocky II. Mm-hmm. Fight with Clubber was 201 pounds. And the guy's like weighing in a trim 201 pounds. I don't know if they said his weight in the second fight with Clubber. Then in the Rocky IV, I had my Russian-speaking friend tell me what the ring announcer said, and he didn't mention weight, which I was really disappointed because Rocky looked his heaviest in Rocky IV because he really bulked up for that role. They didn't say what his weight was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Sly has said when he got super trim, like unhealthily trim for, I think it was Rocky III, he said he only weighed like 155 or 160 pounds.
Yeah,
which would put him at a middleweight, right?
Yeah. Mr. T, I don't know how much he weighs, but he was probably in the... They said he was 230 in that fight. I don't know how much he really weighs, but...
He looks pretty solid, like huge.
Yeah. I don't think he's that tall, though. He seems like a little bit taller than Stallone, but not super tall, unless they made Stallone look taller. Because I think...
How dare you?
Didn't when he fought Dolph Lundgren, he had, like, high shoes or something like that, if I remember right.
How dare you?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being shorter than 6 feet or whatever, unless you're on Tinder or something. But
well, speaking of Tinder, it looks like Sly doesn't have to swipe right anymore. I guess he's reconciling with Miss Flavin.
My dreams of becoming the next Mrs. Stallone have been dashed.
So, a little bit behind the curtain here, folks. If you joined us live on episode 15, live in our Discord chat, you heard it. I almost kept it in the episode, but literally, Katie and I, and we discussed the divorce proceedings at the time as we understood them during that episode. And literally, after we hung up and stopped recording that day, the news came in that they're reconciling. I'm like, we just recorded this 5 hours ago, and I. So, I knew that week I was going to have to. I just took out the whole discussion because it would have seemed the whole discussion would is void because they're not divorcing.
Clearly, Stallone has a mole in our Discord. He has someone listening. I'm not going to say it's him directly, but I think he may have done that. I think they may have reconciled out of spite.
For my editing.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, hey, Ryan was talking about a divorce, Jennifer. We got to, yeah. So anyways, it was a good discussion, but I was happy to edit it out. I was happy to, like, good, I hope they work it out. I always said I want them to have peace and happiness. So if that means they're together and that makes them happy, then great. I hope it works out, and I hope they find the peace and happiness they both deserve. A, there's a lot of money on the table. I don't mean that in a that it's about money, but it can get very complicated and messy. So maybe
it's a factor.
Yeah. So maybe it's just, hey, let's just work this out as a couple. And a lot of couples do that and with the kids or properties or businesses or whatever it might be. It's like maybe it's just easier if we just go to a therapy or see a marriage counselor or let's talk about our life. And is that Sly's also 76. Maybe there's a part of it's like, what am I going to do? I'm going to go out hunting for other tail when I'm 80.
He's like, yes, actually.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe. And Jennifer is no slouch. So, yeah, he could be just as happy to stay with her. Okay, so we wish them all the best. Here at the Rocky Series podcast, we wish them all the best. And other than that, we don't really have any news. We do have a quick little email. It wasn't much of an email. It was E.M. King, who is the father. And speaking of which, let me get the trivia book. The father of Rocco, who is our trivia book writer, E.M. King gave us his bump count. He resent the email saying, here's the original email. So his was 23. So if you want to put that in your Google Doc there, Kyle.
I'll do that right now.
That's a smart guess. That's a smart. Unlike 250 that Katie
had. Oh, I had him at 26.
Oh, that's good.
I'll change that right.
Yeah.
But I did have a note there saying double check.
Yeah, so thank you, E.M. King. So that's why he sent us the email for you. So he actually sent me the original email to prove that he's not lying. It's 23. So there you go.
And did you guys get any bums? Did you get any bums last episode?
I honestly don't remember, but I remember.
Yeah, good question.
But I remember thinking after we just recorded because I thought, oh, we didn't really like. I actually remember asking myself the question after we hung up, Katie. And I don't think there's any bump counts because I was like, "Move your chicken asses out of your scene." And all those scenes they didn't have. And it was the in the freezer with the meat punching, and
there's no bumps there.
No,
we're at 15 right now.
Okay,
I think we're going to side after the I'm from the neighborhood and all that stuff. And I think a few of them. I think E.M. King is going to win.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Well, is not going to win for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the father of our Rocky trivia guy, he's going to win. I just want to say, actually, really quickly, so in terms of releases of stuff, like I just released today at the time it's recording the Rambo podcast that I do. I had a special guest, John Rivoli, on that episode. It's a really fun episode, so I highly recommend people, if you are a Rocky fan and or Sly fan, you're not listening to my Rambo podcast, you're missing some really fun episodes about the Rambo franchise. I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I'm really having fun there. I'm having some great rotating special guests. And John Rivoli, of course, he's friends with Sly. And so he gave some great stories. And there's a great story that he ends the episode with. And a question I had for John, and I said to John, don't ask Sly this question, but ask him this question. And the question was, if you remember in Rambo Part 2, when he's in that crap mud pit being tortured and hung by his arms, and he gets pulled out, and then the Russian lieutenant colonel takes Rambo's knife and scrapes the leech
off.
Yeah, so I've always suspected that those were real leeches on Sly. John was like, I don't know, I don't think so. I said, well, John, if they're not real leeches, then that's really great, you know, pre-CGI makeup work. I mean, those look like slimy little creatures, and when they rip off the leeches, there's a little blood stain, a little blood mark that comes right up after the leech is taken off. So it's great, great makeup work and puppetry or whatever, these little creatures. I said, if it ever comes up the next time you're talking to Sly, can you just ask him? So literally after we're done recording, so I couldn't do this during the edit because, you know, we finished recording, but John sent me a text right after, right, he goes, oh, I just talked to the big man. He wrote back, capital Y, capital E, capital S. Yes, real leeches. From Sly's mouth to John's phone to my ears, it was really cool that John did that for the podcast. So I guess I'm revealing that on this show because I already recorded, mm-hmm. like, And anyways, I don't know if I revealed that in the other episodes that I already recorded. I can't remember. So I'm just saying it now, a little teaser. So there you go. You get those kind of stories about Rambo and the behind-the-scenes stuff. I recommend the Rambo series podcast. It's called It's a Long Road, so check it out. And Tim in our chat says he likes it. So thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
I was going to further attest to it. I listened to it this morning, Brian. So
did you like that story at the end?
Well, I mean, all the episodes are good, but I very much enjoyed that episode. But I was going to give you a hard time about, really? That's what you wanted to ask, Sly?
I know. Are those real leeches? I know. I'm weird that way, I guess.
You must have liked the question if you did all caps yes.
That does not surprise me at all. Like, he would be...
I don't know what Sly's reaction to John's question was, but I suspect Sly probably liked having that. I don't know if he's ever been asked that. I don't know. How many times does Sly ask? You know, everyone asks, what was it like riding Rocky or whatever? So, yeah, were those real leeches on you, Sly? I think he's always more than happy to talk about the physicalness that he went through in his films. I think he likes talking about that kind of stuff.
Well, and probably people don't appreciate that he did that sacrifice for the film to make it look real, right? So someone appreciating that, hey, those looked real, that looked cool.
Yeah.
It validated what was ultimately probably his decision to put real leeches on him. Because I don't know if any producer would ask something like that of someone.
He would have asked it of himself. It's just easier to put the leeches on. I don't know. Just flick them off with a knife, I guess. But one take. Because I know with the rat scene, for example, those were real rats in First Blood in the cave. And Sly, I think it was one take. He hated it. He hated the rats. So I don't think it was more than one take. It was probably...
Well, back in the day, they didn't... I mean, I think there were, a lot more realism, you know, back in the day in the 80s, because no CGI and stuff like that, which makes me... I just love old things. But the leech thing reminded me of... What was that with the four boys?
Stand by Me.
Yes. That's what it reminded me of.
That's when I first became afraid of leeches, was because of that, that movie. Okay. Speaking of E.M. King and the Rocky trivia and trivia in general, here we go. These are the last five questions for the first Rocky film. So the next episodes of our season one of Rocky will no longer have questions, because I'm keeping the questions with the movies that we're covering. Okay.
Okay.
So this is question, 46 to 50.
That's it. Then we're done, and we can tally the winner at the end of this episode, I guess. Wow. True or false, Rocky wears glasses?
I mean, this is the problem when I took tests when I was in school.
You're overthinking it. This was written by an 11-year-old.
No, I'm not overthinking it, because... Oh.
What are you saying? I mean, we know the answer, but I mean, what are you saying, though? Like,
I'm saying he does and he doesn't. He's not a regular glasses wearer, but he does wear glasses sometimes.
And I just going to say, don't overthink it. You're overthinking. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, 100% overthinking it.
That's what overthinking is, Katie. You're overthinking it. That's exactly what that is. I love how she says, I overthink things, but not this question. But you just explained what overthinking is.
Well, this is why I think, because people are like, oh, true or false questions are so easy. I'm like, well.
No, they're not. They're not. Yeah. They're not. However, this one is easy.
Okay.
This is an example of an easy question. Because
All right.
Where does Rocky keep the combination of his locker? Now, you could argue, where does he put that item when he's not wearing it? See, this is where you start overthinking things. So where does
he... suitcase is it.
Yeah, that's right. True or false? Katie, you ready? Another. Rocky and Adrian's first date was on Thanksgiving. So, yeah, behind the curtain again, at the time of this recording, it is Thanksgiving weekend in Canada right now. So, happy Thanksgiving to all our Canadian listeners who are watching this live, like Tim, for example. He's from Ontario. Question 49, who is Rocky talking to when he said, I should have broke your thumbs?
Can I please ask a question about that last one? Are you required to give a specific name or just a description of the person?
See, okay, well, this will be an interesting to see what our answers are, because I think I know why you're asking. So, well, there's two people in that vehicle. I think we all know the scene. So it was God's own buddy.
Yes.
I'll let you decide. We'll talk about it with the answers.
You just gave it away, Ryan.
Well, no, I know we know who's in the vehicle, but I think we'll discuss the answers. I think Kyle might be overthinking that one. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so.
Last question. You ready? According to Rocky, where did the name Southpaw come from?
It's a little convoluted of an answer.
It is convoluted, because I'm playing that whole scene in my head right now. He invented it.
my answer is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words.
Oh, wow.
To explain that.
Mine's like a whole, like, essay.
You have a thesis statement, and then several paragraphs, and then a reworded thesis is your conclusion. The end.
Okay, here we go. So this is exciting. We're now at the scene in the movie where Paulie's walking home, not sober. He was probably at the Lucky Seven. Here he is walking home. What's he carrying in his hand there? Is it a wreath in his hand?
Yeah, and yeah. Don't you guys think he maybe stole it off of somebody's like door? Like, or do you think he bought that?
I could see him just grabbing it. Like, especially yeah. Lucky Seven had it on their door or something like that. He's like, I'm taking this home.
Yeah, I've always wondered, where did he grab it from? I always like to think maybe it was a work party. Maybe they had a work party, and it was on the table or something at the meat factory, and he's bringing it home. I don't know.
Those are their Christmas gifts.
No, he still stole it.
Oh.
But it was like decoration at the work party or something. Or even just at work. He just took it from the work door. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something Polly would do.
Do you hear what he's humming?
Yeah, the first Noel.
I know, I love fall right now. I mean, we're in October at the time of this recording. I just love this time. Between October and December, it's just the best. You got Canadian Thanksgiving, then American Thanksgiving, which we celebrate because we have three American-born children. And
you really?
Yeah, our last three kids were American-born. Yeah.
No. That you celebrate it because of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are they dual citizens then?
Yeah, they're Americans. They can go work in America when they want, when they're older. They have that choice, yeah, which is kind of cool. They can...
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, and then, of course, you have Halloween, and then you have all the lead-ups in December in general. Yeah, I don't know. October to December is just... I love it. Yeah. Okay.
Brian's birthday.
Yeah, my birthday at the end of the month, and my wife's birthday, and my son's one of my son's birthdays, all in October. We have three birthdays in October, yeah. And Becky's birthday is 2 days before mine, which is really weird. Anyways, who cares? Nobody cares about our personal lives on this show. I don't know. I don't want to hear about your personal life. Just get to the movie. Yes, yes, right away. Okay, there we go. Paulie just, I mean, Burt Young just does a great job playing it drunk. He's so good at it. Now, to be fair to Paulie, he's actually picking up the trash can and bringing it back to the house. Sort of.
True.
Yeah, you can't get the trash can over the fence.
To your point, Ryan, about him playing a good drunk, I think it's actually hard. Because I notice in a lot of movies when people play drunk, it's clear they're not drunk. So I would like to concur with you about that he plays a good, realistic drunk.
Did Burt Young as an actor have a problem with alcohol? You know that?
Maybe somebody in our chat might know. I feel like I've heard something. I don't want to speculate per se. I think he does now.
You could just do some method acting, you know what I mean? I just mean, like, you could just get ripped for the scene, you know what I mean?
Well, he is a method actor to a degree in the sense that I know he put turpentine on his knuckles to give himself that arthritis, so who knows? Maybe he had a couple in him just to get the feeling of being tipsy, and he built off of it, so. According to Donald, though, in our chat, Bert took notes from watching actual drunks, according to Sly, so. I don't think Bert was unprofessional on the set, and he's just like, you can't be a slobbering drunk and be on a movie.
The greatest actor portraying a drunk person ever... Can't remember his name, but he plays Mr. Leahy on Trailer Park Boys. He's deceased now.
Oh, wow.
If you ever watch Trailer Park Boys, Mr. Leahy, that's the greatest drunk character ever.
I never watched seen that. It. Yeah, I never seen it either. I know the characters, like I know the show, but I've just never seen it.
Get on Netflix and watch it.
Yes, yes, sir. I'll add that literally to my ever growing queue that it will never catch up with. Still humming that tune. He's in the Christmas spirit right now. He's feeling good.
And he's hugging that trash can. If you're moving a trash can from point A to point B, you usually touch it as little as possible. You grab the handle on it or something. You almost kind of drag it behind you or something. He's like bear hugging this trash can and it is face level. Like it's a really odd way. You'd almost have to be drunk to carry a trash can like that.
He's used to everything stinking. His workplace stinks. Rocky's place stinks. Everything stinks. So it's just normal. Stinky garbage can. Now, what film is that on TV? Do we know?
Isn't it A Christmas Carol? Or the Charles Dickens one?
One of the earlier ones, of course. I mean, Charles Dickens wrote the novel, but there's so many different versions of it, of course. So I don't know which actor was in this one, but...
Yeah, that's what researching before the podcast would help with, but...
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, better podcasters would know this stuff. I'm sure the Rocky Files podcast knows this answer. We're just ham and eggers over here. We don't know nothing.
Yeah, I do think it's like the Ebenezer Scrooge story, whatever that is. Christmas
tree. It does look like 19th century, mm-hmm. for sure, so.
Whatever version of the Christmas Carol would have been already old in 75, 76. So I think there was a 30s version. This looks very old filmy here. Mm-hmm. Adrian and Rocky are watching this Christmas film, which I love Christmas time. So this is always kind of like, I'm getting in the mood right now just watching a movie about Christmas time because I'm seeing, you know, I love watching films at Christmas, watching Christmas films. And so Adrian and Rocky, you know, they're cuddled on the couch and they're snuggled in and they're watching a Christmas film, but they're talking as couples do during a show or film that they've seen 100 times. And so Adrian asked this question and he called the reporters. Again, I wonder how many times people, when they watch this film, really are hearing the discussion that Adrian mm-hmm. just had, because it's a very quiet question that the captions bring up. So Adrian goes, and he called the reporters, which indicates they've been talking about the scene that we just saw, of course. So Rocky's expressing, Adrian, I can't believe it. So this is what Rocky must have said. Hey, yo, Adrian, you know, I was just going for my jog. I went to go get your meat, you know, so you can make the meat for me in the kitchen, you know. And there was a reporter there, and she, you know, caught me off guard. And I was punching meat for the camera all of a sudden, you know. So Adrian's like, oh, he called the reporters for you? So he didn't seem that upset on the news show. He really performed, but is he upset about it? Or
he complains later on, and I think Adrian's trying to ascertain whether it's Polly's fault or not. Whether the reporters just came there because they're following Rocky, or whether Polly invited the reporters there. That makes a big difference from Rocky's perspective, whether he's mad at Polly or not.
This morning, that's where we left off last episode, Ryan, where he brings the meat and just make the meat. That scene begins with him being tired and like with the blanket on the couch.
Yep.
And he says something to the effect of, your brother's a good man, but blah, blah, blah. So that was like this morning. And
no,
so
we figured out. Yes, that was the beginning. So that was after he fought with Polly in the meat factory.
But then that's right.
But we figured out that by the time we see the scene with him punching the meat for the newscaster, probably a week or two had passed.
That's
because
right.
Because he's running fast. He's got the dog, everything's, and he's really happy mm-hmm. chipper. Him and Polly mm-hmm. are on good terms. Because he says in the newscast, well, the owner don't mind none that I come here all the time. So,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fine. I wish they almost had timestamps, but by that discussion and stuff and the way Rocky's running with the dog and everything, we can assume mm-hmm. he's in shape now and he's getting stronger. But he was still blindsided by the newscast.
What is it?
Yeah, through my whole training schedule.
I love how you said, through my whole training schedule. Dude, that's the end of your
schedule's still on track.
Yeah, I don't, like, what training schedule? You literally pick up the meat, go home, and Adrian makes it. But anyways, it is funny. Like,
I think he might be, you know, you have to be in a certain frame of mind when you're training.
Okay.
And he's probably the rest of the day focusing on what happened there.
Okay.
Focusing, oh, did I look dumb in front of the camera? Did I make a fool of myself? What about this? What about that? And it kind of like messes up your day. Instead of being focused on training, your mind is focused on this. So maybe you can't push yourself to train as hard as you otherwise could or something like that.
So maybe a better line, no offense, Sly, could have been threw my mindset off.
Mm-hmm.
My training.
Yeah, I think mindset. Kyle's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also right that I'm a better writer than Sly. I think I'm right about that, yeah.
Of course.
I could have written this film. Sly, he just beat me to it, that's all.
No problemo.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be mad at him. He's just trying to help.
Oh, I don't recall that.
Yeah, there you go. Rocky was kind of irked, at the very least, at Polly for kind of blindsiding with the news reporter, because Adrian says, don't be mad at him. He's just trying to help you. And then he goes on to say why he doesn't like the reporters. It actually ties into exactly what you said there, Kyle. I forgot about this.
When reporters around, I get out of joint because they take cheap shots, and Polly knows that.
So it takes cheap shots, and Polly knows that. I love how, okay, Rocky's saying that Polly knows that reporters take cheap shots at me because of the one time it was on the news. And it's just funny how Polly should know that. Okay, Rocky, it was one night. Like, how many reporters have you had in your face?
Well, it was a nice callback to when they were watching the press conference, and Polly kind of asked, you know,
those comments don't bother you none? They don't bother you?
Yeah.
They're making you out to be a fool.
Don't bother me none.
Yeah, they're making you out to be a fool. Yeah, Kyle, yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't remember exactly what he said. But yeah, so it was a nice callback to that.
But exactly what you said there, Kyle. Rocky's headspace, you're right. It took him out of his headspace.
And this Polly keeps asking me for a job all the time, but he don't know nothing about fight.
Are you going to say anything to him?
What to say? I just don't know what he wants from me.
I don't want nothing from you. I don't want nothing from you. This ain't no charity case. Get out of my house.
Sometimes people just need to talk, and they kind of vent, and they get it out of their system, and maybe that can strengthen their whatever when they face a Pauly in their life. Of course, they wouldn't have had that conversation in front of Pauly because they too aren't trying to hurt Pauly. They're not trying to hurt. They're having a private discussion. They wouldn't want Pauly to hear it, so they don't want to hurt Pauly. But anyways, Pauly's heard it. It's too late, and now he's pissed off. So again, I get Pauly's angry. I totally understand it, but it was never intended to hurt anyone, and they didn't want Pauly to hear this conversation either. So anyways, be mindful of what you say. You never know who's listening. Always be kind.
I think with Pauly too, though, he has to be hit over the head. Like, Pauly's not the kind of guy that takes hints. If you're like, Pauly, please don't call reporters. Not going to happen. You have to hurt him. You have to hurt his feelings. I have people like that in my life where they don't take a fucking hint. You give him a hint or two, but when that doesn't work, you let him have it. Tell him the hard truth. And Rocky and Adrian didn't intentionally do that, but I think they had to talk about this because it's something that was bothering Rocky. They thought they were in a house all alone. It's just a really bad timing, but probably would have had to confront Pauly eventually.
All right, so now Pauly's, but he's feeling bent out of shape here, of course. This is his house. I love how he says, this ain't no charity case, meaning I myself am not a charity case, but also my house. Get out of my house. Like, stop hanging around my house like a freaking spider.
I don't ask nobody twice.
No, of course not.
It's not just your house. Ooh.
You're no friend no more. Get out of my house, I just said.
Don't talk to him like that.
Both of you get out of my house.
Yo. It's cold outside, Pauly.
I love that. It's cold outside, Pauly. It's like, is Rocky going to wait till spring before he walks outside?
Do you not have a home to go to of your own?
Yeah, appealing to Pauly's compassion in this case is probably not the best strategy. If I was Rocky, I'd leave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah, I wouldn't be like, it's cold outside. I'd be like,
it is
okay.
It is a weird comeback. It's cold outside, Pauly.
Yeah.
You could have just said, hey, okay, Adrian, let's just go back to my place. This is obviously a hostile environment right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to point out, because I noticed it twice, the way in which Pauly speaks is like he reverses the sentence structure. We had talked about that in a previous episode about the way they speak is a little different and that's a conscious choice of writing. And Pauly's hand gestures and how Sly had brought that up. He is really good with his hands, but get out of my house, I just said. Instead of saying, I just said, get out of my house, he says, get out of my house, I just said. And then there was whatever the second line was in the same manner. Like,
I think he says, I just says. I think it was, was it says or said now? Boy.
I thought it was said, but.
I love the Silent Night's playing on the radio or on the TV, so I love that. It's so peaceful. Yeah, Silent Night, Holy Night. Yeah, Holy Crap Night.
Look at the picture here. It's God Bless Our Home. Never noticed that before, but.
God Bless Our Home.
What the hell is a baseball bat doing there?
Well, it's funny that you asked that. I think it's just what we think it is. I think it's for intruders. I think it's for home protection. Yeah. I'm watching a show right now, of course, called Better Call Saul. I don't know if you guys have watched that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I love Better Call Saul.
Did you just say, Ryan, I don't know if you guys have seen that? Are you kidding me? It's
okay.
So amazing.
I'm behind. My wife and I just started it. We're binging. We're
Breaking Bad that's come out the last couple of years.
All right, leave me alone. I don't know. Maybe not. Well, I guess I'm the last person. I guess Netflix has it on just for me and my wife. I guess we're the last two people to watch. Anyways, we just started watching it. We're huge Breaking Bad fans, but I purposely waited until the series was over, and now I'm binging it. So we're on season 3 right now. We're watching it every day. We love it. We're flying through it. And this is kind of why I do this. Sometimes I'm a binger. We focus on a show, we just finish it.
Season 6 isn't up yet.
It's not up on Netflix yet. So we might have to wait a little bit before. Anyways, so the point I'm trying to say is there was a scene where Mike grabs a bat. It was right next to his door. Yeah. That's all. So, I mean, people do have bats next to the door. We just watched that scene, so that's why it came to my head. Jeez, that was my long way of saying. Yeah.
Also, I love that comment, Donald. It's not Ryan's fault. He's Canadian. Did you see that?
Yes, I do. Well, the air is telling us to go back to the captions. Let me just see if I can do that real quick without...
Get out of my house,
yeah, it just says. There you go. Okay. All right.
Yeah. It's shitty grammar. I want to point out, too, that Polly's in a very dominant stance here. Like, Rocky and Adrian are sitting. Mm-hmm. Polly's standing over them. And he's very imposing.
He's a big guy Rocky in his own Adrian, right.
Yeah, yeah. Rocky and Adrian are sitting here. They're very vulnerable to whatever mm-hmm. Polly's going to do. Apparently, when they were doing these takes with the baseball bat, the bat would get closer and closer to Sly's face every time. And he was, like, legitimately getting nervous.
That would be, too. And that's not a styrofoam bat. They didn't have any money for prop work. They just got a real bat. It's like, this is just a real bat. This isn't a styrofoam bat.
I don't want you missing, huh? And I don't raise you to go with this scumbum.
Bump count. Thank you. Boy, Katie, if it wasn't for you, I don't know. I'm so engrossed in the movie now.
I'm trying to get every last bum I can.
Yeah, wow. That's what she said, or he said.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, Katie, how you spend your weekends is your own, okay? Yeah, good call on the bump count. I love how you call a scumbum. Has anyone ever been called a scumbum before? And I love how he says, I don't want you messing with her.
Messing her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He did something to her.
She's like, ruined now.
You messed her. I think virginity is a really weird concept.
So weird.
And Polly's oddly obsessed.
He should have been a preacher. He should have been like some sort of like father, Catholic father, because he really is obsessed about people's virginity. Yeah, I agree.
Back in the day, it was extra specially virginity was like all it's like all a woman has is her pureness or whatever. It was like so. Yeah, it is a weird concept, but also it was made to be such a big deal back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. A woman's virginity. No one cares about a man's virginity.
Exactly.
Because there's like a purity thing connected with it for women that somehow if you've had sex and you're ruined or you're impure or it to me, and this is getting all feminist whatever, but it's the idea that women are property.
Yeah, well that's how Polly treats Adrian. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that his property is just sullied by Rocky.
That's what he's saying. Like, I don't want you messing with her, and I don't want you. He's telling her this. I didn't raise you to be like this. I didn't want you to be like. Yeah, he's telling Adrian how to be. He's like, whoa, I'm a 30-year-old woman. I think I can spread my legs for whoever I want.
Yes, Ryan, you spread your legs for whomever.
No, Adrian. Adrian.
Okay. Sorry. It is funny too that Polly says I didn't raise you to be with this guy when he is the one that set them up in the first place. He went to great lengths to set them up.
To get a job with Gazzo, that was it.
You think that? Oh, I guess so.
Yeah.
It's such a strange conundrum almost in Polly's head because is she going to dry up or is she going to be ruined? Which is it?
Yeah. Can't have both. Mm-hmm. So you can see Rocky, he's getting up a little bit. He's like protecting Adrian. He's getting up. He sees he recognizes Polly's drunk. He's got a bat. This is a threat, legit threat. Now, regardless of my feelings on this guy, you know, my girlfriend's brother, I might have to do something about this. So he's about to get up, and now Paul is like, you want to come on? You want to hit on me? So he is now. So it's interesting to watch Rocky go from that stance to more of a, like, okay, I will just stay calm. I'm not trying to recognize this, not to agitate this any further.
Come on! You want to hit on me? Come on! I'll break both your arms so they don't work for you. Me with Gazzo? Woo! That's what I think of Gazzo! Now you're a big shot fighter on the way up. You don't even throw a crumb to your friend Polly!
Now that he recognizes that he's not really going to hit Rocky, Rocky kind of sits back, just lets him go off. The line where he says, I'll break both your arms so they don't work for you, because obviously he's a boxer, it's been such a violent image in my mind. Like, it's such a violent... Same way that Polly says, you know, I'm going to split the guy's head open with a razor that wrecked the mirror. Like, he's got these very violent in his speech. I almost believe that he would break Rocky's arms.
Look at his face here in this scene. Now, if you're the listener, you can't see this, obviously. But look at his face. He looks like he's going to cry.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. now he's dumping scared. On him. Yeah.
You can tell that his facade of being kind of hardened or not caring is coming down with the alcohol. He's really pissed off, like what you said about not meeting with Gazzo. His life is shit. essentially. I still think it's weird, though, that Rocky isn't standing up. Adrian's standing up, but Rocky's not standing up. I'd feel weird about that. I'd want to maybe grab that bat if Polly's not vulnerable there.
Rocky might know enough of Polly to know he won't really get hit. And or Adrian also knows Polly's drunken mood swings, that she's standing up to him because maybe she's the only one that can get through to Polly. I think Rocky's doing the right thing by just not talking. Just don't talk.
He's recognizing that Polly just needs to get this out.
Okay.
Polly has all this pent up. He's butt hurt. Mm-hmm. And Rocky is letting him get it out.
When I go and get your meat every morning, you forgot that man. I even give you my sister too.
I give you my sister.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, he sees women as property.
You have every right to feel that way, Katie, because here's what Adrian says, that only a pig would say that.
Only a pig would say that! I'm a pig! A pig gets you the best!
I love, I'm a pig, gives you the best. There's like this silverware tea set on the cabinet. He smashes it. I give you the best little tea set you've ever seen that he smashes. I guess there was a time where Polly bought that tea set for Adrian, maybe for Christmas or her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my mind, I've been thinking about that tea set. Is I didn't realize that was Polly's picture there. I always thought that was the dad's picture in the background, their father. And I always assumed that they inherited that tea set from mom and dad. There's no reason to think that, but for some reason in my mind, that's all what I think. They would have probably got that house from mom and dad, too.
I think the house was from the parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so probably a lot of this stuff is really mom and dad's stuff. Mm-hmm. And Polly is kind of being like the typical narcissistic abuser that says, you're nothing without me. I get this for you. I do that for you. Like, that's really typical abuse type of thing where you make the person feel dependent on you. And Adrian, of course, is going to shut him down there.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyle, do you moonlight as a domestic violence hotline representative? Because you should.
I have no real qualifications, but as a man, that's not going to stop me from explaining things to people with confidence.
Ooh, I love what you brought it back to that. That's awesome. Mansplaining it.
I love it. Polly has the picture there next to the tea set. Just to remind Adrian who gave him that tea set. Who gave her that tea set. Mm. Like, this is me. This is my gift to you with this picture there. And that's him in a Navy uniform. That is not Burt Young in the Navy. That is from a previous film, apparently. Another film that he was in with the Navy outfit. Mm. That's what I understand. Okay. Now, what's that reasoning? Why does he not get married because of his virgin sister? What's the connection there?
Because he says that he has to have her living there, and he has to take care of her, and all this time is spent with her. He can't go out, meet women, and get married because of that. Which is another thing of saying, like, I do all this stuff for you, you're ungrateful. Really trying to make her feel like she has to be with him.
It's a cop-out. I know. I've always taken issue a little bit with that, too, because do you see her as, like, disabled in some way?
That's
like
what I mean. He's talking, is she mentally handicapped for real? Is it, like, some alternate universe where both Rocky and Adrian are, like, special needs?
I think, yeah, the real reason he's not married is because he is an asshole.
Oh, is that
him? He's alcoholic. He's not that physically attractive. The attractiveness is the least of the problems.
Sure.
Because mm-hmm. his personality in Rocky 2, when he's doing really well, he'd probably get married there.
Yeah.
Even aside from the physicality of it, like, he's an abusive piece of shit. So, no, of course no one's going to want to marry him. But he can't accept that. So he has to find an excuse. And the excuse mm-hmm. is, oh, it's because of my sister. I had to take care of her. That's the real reason I can't get married.
I got a message here in our chat from Gert that Bert was in the Marines from 57 to 59. I didn't mean to say he never served. I'm just saying I think that picture alone was from a film. But
it's not a Marine Corps uniform there.
And it's all, yeah, that's Navy. Well, Navy Marines.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but the Marine Corps uniform is very distinct.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's right. He did serve. But it's my understanding that picture on the Rocky set is from a film, a previous film. But yeah, we thank you for your service, Bert. So he goes, there, you can't live by yourself. So he's indicating that she's incapable of living by herself. Look, she cooks meat by herself when Polly's at work. So I think she safely can cook at home. I don't know why It's a weird codependency, obviously, going on here.
It is weird. I wonder, I mean, he's just venting, but she couldn't afford with her pet shop salary.
So maybe it's a financial thing.
Yeah, but
that's fair. You know what? I bet she could live in a shitty apartment like Rocky's.
That's true.
Live with roommates or something. Mm-hmm. I bet you this conversation has happened multiple times in the past. Mm-hmm. I bet you he said this many, many times before, except Adrian, probably because of all these things, didn't have the self-esteem to stand up for herself. But now that she's with Rocky, she has someone that loves her and appreciates her, and she can kind of get out of her shell. She's not putting up with this shit anymore. Sacred line about to come up.
Yeah, well, let's go back and say. So she has now brought up her, okay, Polly's vented, Polly got out, you know, and now she's like, okay, my turn. I'm not a loser. You made me feel like a loser with all these cutting remarks over the years and all these things and all these cutting remarks and make me feel diminutive, small, a piece of property. I take care of you. I clean. I cook for you. I'm sober. You're drunk. I'm not a loser. And then he has to throw this dig in at the end. And now when he's about to do the best line in film history coming up. And the way she reacts to that, though, let's watch. Everyone perk up your ears. It's kind of quiet, but you hear Burt Young give the best line in Rocky history. This is our favorite line coming up. Here we go. Okay, it's coming.
I take care of you, Polly. I don't know you nothing. And you made me feel like a loser. I'm not.
Busted!
What?
Oh, you're not a virgin.
No, I have so many thoughts, but first of all, sure. Because of the running gag of busted, he doesn't say it like that, actually.
How dare
he says it pretty normally, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, well,
he says it later like that.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe that's, yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't discuss how amazing this little interchange, this scene is. It's like literally kind of the crux of Adrian.
I love when she stands up to Polly. She says, look, it's me who takes care of you. In all these years, you made me feel like a loser. I am not a loser. Like, that makes you feel so good to hear that. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think Adrian's a loser either. And, you know, you see her come all this way in a very short time. And it's like she's discovering who she really is.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Well, she flips his rationalization back on him. No, yeah. It's me that takes care of you. It's not that you don't get married because of me. It's that you need me to take care of you. And like just the acting job of on both parts. And meanwhile, Rocky is just like, whoa, this is probably one of the best scenes in the movie. I think it's so good.
I love the music, the contrast, the juxtaposition, if you will, of,
ooh, good word.
Of Silent Night. It's like when you think of Silent Night, it's the complete opposite of like this situation. You know, you think of like being in your home at Christmas and it's cozy and you have a candle on, maybe some like cider or something like that. And you're around like the fire. And in reality, you have this incredibly violent, abusive situation going on. Stuff like that, like the absurdity of that music being on, I love it. I love it. It's so great. It shows you what the real homes are like sometimes. Mm-hmm. It kind of takes down that facade. It's like, I bet you a lot of people, when they see Polly and Adrian's house, it's a fairly well-kept house. So if you're from the outside, they could probably think that everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see really what's going on inside the house, everything's not fine. And that having that Silent Night music on, well, this is happening, to me, kind of highlights that and brings it to the forefront.
No, that's great insight. Louis just said, though, after hearing the busted line, he's done with the series. He's leaving the show.
I'm out.
He's out.
It's funny.
Thanks for hanging out with us, Louis. We appreciate that. He's out. He's done.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to concur with Kyle about that. juxtaposition. I was thinking that earlier too with the music, but also it's, again, this movie is just so good about bringing realism, because this is what real, like you said, real households have strife and struggle. And rarely when we think of Christmas, we do think of the Hallmark movie Christmas, but that's, I'm not going to guess what happens in everybody else's household, but it's usually not like that. I would venture to guess. Wait, what was that?
Go back. See, the captions, guys, I tell you.
I think it was, you let that pig down your pants.
Watch
what he says. Busted! What?
You're not a virgin!
You let him pig down your pants!
She's busted!
There's the part. That's the part we're talking about.
Also, I don't know about you guys, but I have never before caught, you let him take down your pants?
That's what he says.
Did you guys ever catch that before?
Not without the captions.
I heard the pants part. I didn't understand the whole line, but I got, you know. I thought he said you let a man in your pants or something like that.
Take down your pants.
Whatever. It means the same thing. Mm-hmm. He is really obsessed about his sister getting smashed, you know. Like, come on, dude.
There's a lot of busted, messing, take down your pants. You're busted twice. You're not a virgin. There is a lot of... Louise just said he's never heard that part either. Like, it's the captions that bring it out. Yeah. Go ahead there, Kate.
I wonder if Polly's jealous, too, that his sister's in a relationship and he isn't.
Maybe.
I can see Polly only of having sex with, like, a prostitute or something.
Yep.
He's never had sex for real, like a truly consensual encounter where the other person actually wants to be with you.
So a lot of people are saying they never caught that line in our chat. So maybe our listeners on iTunes and stuff will be the same that, yeah. You let a man take down your pants. Should be the name of the
now,
episode.
Now, Sly wrote this. So, is he obsessed with virginity too? Because
I don't know. It is
so
weird.
Much.
Okay, well, I'll say this. Okay, let me just say something. I got a theory. Remember, the Polly character was supposed to be the mother. So, there's a lot of obsession about sex and stuff that a parent might be dumping on maybe a younger person. So... the original character of Polly was supposed to be a racist, older Jewish mother or something like that. Or religious mother of some sort. Mm-hmm. So I think some of that dialogue might have stuck in, or the ideas of purity and virginity of the daughter. That's probably why it seems really kind of weird and creepy coming from the brother, where it wouldn't seem as such coming from the parent.
That's a good point.
Yeah, because it's like you go back, I guess, coming on 50 years now. People were more religious back then. They were probably in a Catholic family where you value virginity. And I think that's why Adrian freaked out when he was like, you're not a virgin.
Because she had sex before marriage, which is a big thing, right?
Yeah. A lot of people in the 70s weren't having sex before marriage. But I think there was more shame to it.
There's shame, definitely more shame attached to it, yes. Again, that white picket fence idea. This is only a decade and a half from the 50s, the Leave It to Beaver type image. So... yeah, the idea that you're not supposed to have sex before marriage was even more common back then, even with non-religious families. It was a more hush-hush, shush-shush type thing, yeah. Nobody does that. And the thing is, they did. They just didn't talk about it.
I can't hold meat no more.
Great segue.
I can't hold meat no more. We're foreshadowing Polly's falling in the snow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love it.
This is a very different Polly than we see in the rest of the films. Mm-hmm. This is the much darker, or disturbed, unlikable Polly. People look back at Polly with fond memories because of the Polly in the later films. If only Rocky One existed, you would not see Polly that positive of a character, even though they do kind of make up later, but still.
Yeah, because he says to Rocky, if I could be anybody and step out, you'd be you. So yeah, he redeems himself in later films. Then he messes it up again in part 5, but whatever.
I still don't think it's his fault. We'll talk about that later.
But. Yeah. Well, Stallone said here that he originally wrote this part that he had the Rocky character say, like, if you do that ever again to my future wife, beat the crap out of you, I'll kill you. That was in the original type script, where it was more of a threat. This is where he told Paul, you act this way again to Adrian, I'm gonna kill you. So to answer your question of why is he just sitting there, why is he so passive, at this moment he threatens to kill Paulie, but he didn't do it for the film.
He doesn't. I only go by what the film says, not what the script might have said.
They did that for, because they didn't want Rocky. He's not that character. He's not. As the filming goes on, they realize that's not who the character is, type thing. Yeah.
It's also really interesting that Rocky is a boxer and he's a debt collector. So what he does for a living, he very well, another, shall I say, lesser man would have just gotten up in Polly's face a long time ago and tried to like throw his weight around to protect his woman. But he just let their family business. I think that it speaks to Rocky's character as well, that he doesn't feel the need to throw his masculinity around and his toughness around, and he's letting the family business air, and only at the end when he really needs to does he step in and say enough.
Rocky, despite the fact of being a debt collector and a professional fighter, is not a violent person by nature. Boxing is consensual. It's violent, but it's not violence with malice. The debt collecting was, well, I got to do this to pay my bills. I don't have a choice. If there isn't an extenuating circumstance, I think violence is at the very bottom of Rocky's list of things he'd want to do to someone. He's more of a gentle person by nature.
Gentle giant.
What Rocky's also seen is maybe he was going to say, I'm going to kill you or I'll punch you to tomorrow, Polly. But when Polly says, I can't haul meat no more. This all ties in with his job with Gosell to get out of the hauling business. He's depressed of where he is. Rocky's is now just seeing a broken, pathetic man. Like, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
He's just going to squish this guy. Like, ugh. This guy is just so pathetic and pitiful. Beating him to a pulp won't do anything. He's already at the bottom. He's rock bottom right now. Speaking of Rocky, this guy's at rock bottom right now. He's just going to let him go physically and emotionally. Like, what else can you say?
He's pretty loaded. Like, there's a chance he won't remember this happening. Or has very spotty memory of it happening.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, Rocky's angry, but then he's like, ugh, whatever. The Bells of Holly, fa la 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 la.
I love it.
So Rocky walks into Adrian's room together to see how she's doing.
Yeah, she's stoic right now.
She's got her back straight. She's looking.
She's not crying into her pillow, right?
Yeah.
If she was, I wouldn't blame her. She's had enough.
Look at the bird cage there. Where's the bird?
Go in the alley and eat the bird.
Oh, there it is.
You want roommate?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay, so actually, we'll stop it there, which is fine. We talked more than I thought we would, which is not a bad thing. I just, okay, that's great. Great discussion points. Because that is a pretty thick.
I just want to say one thing, sorry.
Of course.
Your home situation has to be pretty bad if you're willing to move into that shithole that Rocky lives in.
But she tidies it up. She actually helps to make it. Yeah, we'll get to that scene later. Okay, so we'll stop it there. So the next episode will cover, this little sequence here between Mickey and Rocky in the ring. It's a very quick little moment. Then it, of course, goes into the big training sequence. So what we'll do is we'll speak more to the training sequence. Then we'll make that a special episode. We'll break down the exercises and talk about that. Then it'll be alone in the ring. And then it'll be the final fight. So I think about three more episodes left. That's it. Wow. It will be the end of season one before we roll into Rocky 2 season 2. Well, Rocky 1 and 2 probably the longest seasons. But then again, I don't know. All the films have so many funny talking points, 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. There's so many funny stuff to talk about. Anyways, that being said, this was an awesome discussion. A lot of stuff going on. Family dynamics. Incredible acting. I think that sequence there between Talia Shire and Burt Young, because I know all of them received Academy Award nominations. The whole cast, Burgess Meredith, Talia Shire, Burt Young, Stallone, they all received acting nods for this film. That would be your submission there, the Burt Young drunken, and then Talia Shire standing up to him. That's your Oscar clip that you sent to the Academy type thing.
Anyone who thinks Rocky is just a boxing movie doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, everyone listening to this podcast,
I know they don't think that, but you probably know people who think that.
Yeah, you tell those people they're sterno bums for thinking that.
Sternoest of sterno bums.
Ready for the last of our, this is it, the Rocky answers. Yeah. See how you did at home here. Let us know if you got 5 out of 5. And then, Kyle, if you're ready to tally up the scores.
I am ready. I have my sheet out. I have my answers written down. And
who's going to win?
I will have the final result to you live.
Okay, here we go. True or false, Katie? You ready? I want Katie to answer this first. Rocky wears glasses. True or false?
I said yes, sometimes.
Okay, so you couldn't help yourself.
No, couldn't.
I put true because it doesn't say he always wore glasses.
That's right.
He wore them.
He wears glasses. Yes, true.
You asked, does Rocky wear a hat? He wasn't wearing a hat in this last scene, but he often wears a hat.
Yeah, does he wear underwear? I don't know about that. We know that Mickey hasn't changed his underwear in, 10 years or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem so bad anymore.
Well, it's not that he hasn't changed. It's that he hasn't bought a new pair in 10 years.
That's the average man this year.
I just buy underwear until it falls apart.
Yeah, which so I just threw I just threw away a few that were falling apart in the thighs. It happens.
God, you guys.
I'm not even joking, Katie. It's true.
Right. I am like obsessed with online shopping, so I have far too many things of all the things, things.
Let's talk about your underwear. What do you got?
You can, you know how you can make some money off that if you have extra pairs, mm-hmm. and then use that to buy other stuff. So
OnlyFans.
Yeah. All right, I'd do it if anyone is interested. If anyone's interested, I will sell you some of mine.
OnlyFans isn't about nudity; it just turned into that. Like it actually wasn't supposed to be. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Where does Rocky keep the combination to his locker?
In his hat.
His hat.
His hat.
Under his hat.
True or false? Mm. Rocky and Adrian's first date was on Thanksgiving.
See?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
oh, is it Canadian Thanksgiving or is it American Thanksgiving?
Yeah, that's right. To us, it's just Sunday. Who is Rocky talking to when he said, I should have broke your thumbs?
Buddy, because I didn't know if I should put Gazzo's driver or Buddy, but I put Buddy and then in brackets, Gazzo's driver to be safe.
Me too.
what the answer is supposed to be.
I think we were all overachievers in school is what I'm gathering from this.
So, yeah, that's what Rocco put. It's Gazzo's bodyguard. More specifically, his name is Buddy, by the way. It's Buddy. But, mm-hmm. Okay.
And he has issues with his prostate.
He does.
Yeah, I'll let you guys decide because I don't write these things down because I'm doing the answer question. So I just have it in my head. And I know you guys trust me. So this was my answer. I said Southpaw, South Campus, South Jersey. That whole dialogue is how he came up with Southpaw. So
yeah.
Okay. What did you write, Kyle? Now read.
I wrote fighter in Philly.
Okay.
Arm pointing towards New Jersey.
What did you say, Katie?
Yeah, I said old time fighter in Philly, Southampton, South Jersey, Southpaw. Essentially, the glove is facing south, which is the total bullshit.
I think we all got it. Jersey's the key word. That's why I want to say Jersey. A fighter was fighting, and his left hand was facing New Jersey, which was in the south.
Okay, so you guys we all got five.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just put the final score in.
Sure.
Yeah. The winner is Katie. With 46 out of 50.
Wow. Oh,
I started out real slow, though.
The second place is Ryan, 45 out of 50.
Wow, close race.
And last place is Kyle, 41 out of 50.
41? Well,
I know. Isn't that embarrassing?
That's weird.
No.
Well, it is embarrassing. It is kind of embarrassing. We should all feel embarrassed for Kyle.
You guys, this is a little anticlimactic,
man.
Though.
Yeah, so Rocco gives a judge's scorecard at the end of each film. If you get a perfect score, this is the perfect score. It says, Rocky charges in like a bulldozer and hits Creed with multiple blows to the ribs and lands a right uppercut. Creed is down for the knockout. That's a perfect score, which none of us got.
Okay.
But we actually all fall into number 5, which is 40 to 49. So we're all in the same category. So this is Rocky wins by unanimous decision. So there you go. That's where we land. So we did pretty good.
I'll get his redemption next season. I like it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to have an ultimate winner at the end of the series. But season by season. Yeah, I know.
So here's a teaser. I'll give you a teaser for our audience and for ourselves. Even though it's going to be like 4 episodes from now. Here's the first question for Rocky 2. I'm already excited for Rocky 2. Who says, I'm worried about you, Rock. Your head ain't screwed on right. There you go. So there's it. Kyle's already right down the answer. I'm going to look that up. Okay.
I'm like, I'm watching Rocky 2.
All right. Well, there you go. That's it. That's the end of the episode. Kyle?
I didn't hear no bell.
We had a lot of people on our Discord. Thanks, guys, for hanging out. And it was awesome. Actually, let me do some plugging. I forgot. I'll start this again. Okay. Before we close, I just want to remind everybody, if you want to join our Discord, the link to our Discord is in every podcast description. And you can join us live. We had about 5 or 6 people in today, which I think is great. People listening, watching live, and they get to see everything before it gets released in a couple weeks. And join the conversation, add insight, trivia, jokes, and all that good stuff. So thank you to our Discord audience. Also, if you want to support me on Patreon, support the feed. Thanks to Louise who just joined again. Thanks, Louise. I know money is tight for people. I know it's the holiday season. But as low as $1 a month, you get access, early access to early releases. And I will be doing reaction videos to the episode. So I'm going to watch the whole episode of Tulsa King. And I'm going to give my thoughts to the Tulsa King series exclusively only on Patreon. So if you want to hear my thoughts about Tulsa King, if you care, it's a combination of you get to hear my thoughts, watch the video with me as I watch the show. I'm going to give my thoughts on the show. So you can watch the show first and come hear my thoughts. Even if it's just a scene, you want to hear what I have to say about a certain spoiler or death or whatever, then come watch my reaction. And it's for as low as $1 a month. You get to do that. And I will do that for the whole Tulsa King run. And you're also just supporting the show and the feed costs to put the show on iTunes and what have you. So there you go. For as low as $1 a month, you can do that. But you can give me any more than you can give me more. And I say me, but I mean to the Last of the Action Heroes podcast feed. Yeah, send us an email. We didn't really get any this week, so send us an email. And that's it. The episode's over. And now you say, I didn't hear no bell. Sorry, I was redoing it.
We already did that.
No, but I was redoing it because I meant to replug everything. So,
okay, ready? I'll do like on three.
I suck.
We're such a mess.
Hey. I didn't hear no bell. I just want to say one thing. My wife is awesome. You win!